Maseches Midos deals primarily with the structure of the Beis Hamikdash and various halachic ramifications of such. And before we get into the first perek, Mishnah Aleph, just on a high level, we'll be talking about three different areas. Number one is the area of Yerushalayim inside the wall. So we're talking about the old city, not the modern Yerushalayim. So that's number one. And in increasing levels of Kedusha, then is Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount. That is 500 by 500 amas, so 500 by 500 square. And next up, number three, is the Azara, also called the courtyard. It's not only the courtyard itself, it includes what's included in the courtyard. That includes the Heichal and the Kodesh Kodashim as well. That is an area of 135 by 187 amas. Mishnah Aleph is going to focus on the mitzvah of Shmira in the Beis HaMikdash, not to protect it, but to show cover to the Beis HaMikdash. There were 24 areas that Kohanim and Levim were stationed. Three areas were stationed by Kohanim, 21 by Levim. And as we will see in our Mishnah, they were stationed, many of them, around the perimeter of Har HaBayis, and also around the perimeter of the Azara. Mishnah Aleph says as follows, B'shloshu mekomos ha-kohanim shomim be-beis ha-mikdash. There are three places that Kohanim were on duty, guarding, literally guarding, but to show cover to the Beis HaMikdash. It's talking about all night long they would be on duty. The Beis Avtinas, one location was in the place, the chamber of Avtinas where the Ketores was made. That was above what's called the Sha'ar HaMayim. We'll talk about it later in the Perek. That's on the southern side of the Azara. Number two is the Beis HaNitzos. That's on the northern side of the Azara. We'll talk about it in Mishnah Hay. And third, of the Beis HaMoked, that is on the northern side as well. We will spend a number of Mishnayos at the end of the parak talking about the Beis HaMoked. So those are the three locations for the Kohanim. Now, when it comes to Levim, Levim Be'eshri Ve'echad Makam, the Levim were at 21 places on a high level. We have the wall around Har HaBayis, and we also have the wall around the Azara. So each of those has four corners. So there was a Levi stationed at the four corners of each of them. So that is eight. And also there were five entrances onto Har HaBayis that had the Levi stationed by each. And also there were five entrances into the Azara that each had a Levi station. So we have Levim at the four corners of each of the perimeter walls. And we have Levim at each of those entrances. That's a total of 18. Four corners and four corners is eight, and five gates and five gates is 10, so that's a total of 18. And what's going to be different and interesting is when it came to the Levim that were around the perimeter of Har HaBayis, especially those that were, all of them actually, they were all on the inside of the wall. And when it came to the Levim who were around the perimeter or the corners of the Azara, they were all on the outside of the perimeter of the wall. And the difference is as follows. It's not permitted to sit in the Azara itself, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, unless somebody is a king descended from David HaMelech. And accordingly, to enable those Levim to sit while they were on guard all night, their guards stations were outside the perimeter of the wall of the Azara. On the other hand, it's permitted to sit on Har HaBayis outside the Azara. Accordingly, those Levim that were stationed around the perimeter of the Har HaBayis itself, they were on the inside of the perimeter on the wall. That will be reflected in our Mishnah. So continuing, we have 21 Levim stationed, and now we're going to go through where they were located. Five of them were located on the five different entrances to Har HaBayis. We'll talk about that in Mishnah Gimel. Arba, Al-Arba, Pinosa, Misocho, and there were also another four Levim on the four corners of the perimeter wall around Har HaBayis, and they were on the inside of the wall because they could sit on the Har HaBayis, just not in the Azara. And we have another Chamisha, Al-Chamisha, Shari Azara. We have another five Levim and the five different entrances onto the Azara, Arba, Al-Arba, Pinosa, and another four Levim on the four corners of the perimeter wall around the Azara. However, those were stationed Mibachutz. They were all on the outside of the perimeter wall, so they would be able to sit because you cannot sit in the Azara, only outside the Azara. And we have another three Be'echad belishkas ha-korban. We had one Levi that was located in what's called the lishkas ha-korban. That was one of the four chambers that is in the Beis HaMoked. We will discuss that in detail at the end of the parak. This lishkas ha-korban is where they kept the animals to be used for the korban tamid. Ve'echad belishkas ha-parochas. And there was another Levi on duty at the lishkas ha-parochas. That's where they made the parochas is for the Beis HaMikdash, in that lishka, in that chamber. Ve'echad achorei Beis HaKaporos. And there was another one that was located in back of the Beis HaKaporos that refers to the Kodshei HaKadoshim. The Kaporos was the area that was the cover on top of the Aron Kodesh where the Shechina would reside. Mishnah Beis, Ish Harabais, Hayam Echazar, Kol Mishmar Mishmar. There was an officer on duty in the Beis HaMikdash, and he would go around during the night checking that the various guards were actually doing their jobs, that they weren't sleeping on the job, Avukas Dolkim Afanavan, because it was so dark in the Beis HaMikdash, it was nighttime, there were torches lit along his route, V'chol Mishmar Shein Omed, and the halacha was, the requirement was that when the officer would get to any area of the guard would have to stand up. If he's standing, okay. If he's not standing, if he's seated, he would have to stand to show cover to this officer, and if that guard did not stand up, Omer lo, the officer would say to them, Ish harabais, shalom alecha, greetings to you, Ish harabais, you that were on duty, shalom aleichem, he would say to them, and if the guard did not respond to that greeting, nikar shuhu yashen, it would be clear that guard was sleeping on the job, and accordingly he would be punished. Chovto b'maklo, the officer would have the right to hit him with his staff, or reshus haya lo lishrov eksuso, and he could be, even as extreme, he was even permitted to burn the outer garment of that person on duty, to that guard on duty, the Levi, and possibly even the Kohanim. It's a machlok, it's whether the officer had jurisdiction over the Kohanim as well, those three Kohanim on duty. But in any case, the concept here is if you're sleeping on the job, it's because you're too warm, you're too comfortable, so they would burn you the outer garment so they couldn't use it, and they would be colder and stay awake on the job. And the people around, and the people in Yerushalayim, when they heard this Levi on the job who would be getting hit, or his clothing would be burned, his outer garment, Kol ben Levi, they would respond, what's the shouting, what's the commotion we hear inside the Beis HaMikdash? The response would be, Kol ben Levi, Loke ubegadav nishav, he must be a Levi that was sleeping on the job, Shiyashan lo al mishmaro, he was sleeping on the job, and accordingly he's getting hit with a staff, or his outer clothing, and his outer clothing is being burnt. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Pamachas matzu es achi ima yashan, he comes and confirms this, that there was a time that they found the brother of my mother who was sleeping on the job, Besarfu Ksuso, that was his uncle, and they burned his Ksus, his outer garment. Mishnah Gimel goes back to what we saw in Mishnah Aleph, Chamisha Sha'arim Hayula Harabais, there were five gates to get onto Harabais. Harabais is the 500 by 500 Amos, so get from outside of Harabais onto Harabais, five different entrances, and we're going to go through detail on them. Shnei Sha'arei Chulda Min Hadarom, there were two entrances called Chulda, the two gates of Chulda, that was on the southern side. Mishamshim Knesa of Yitzia, people would come in and go out, that was the main area on the southern side that people came in and went out. It was called Sha'arei Chulda because Chulda Hanavia, during the Bayis Rishon, she would sit between those two gates, so it was named after her. The next gate, number three, is Kiponos, mean Hamarav, was on the western side. Mishamis Knesav Yitzia, people would come in and go out as well. That's the third one. Number four was Tadi, mean Atzafon, was on the northern side, called Tadi Gate. Lo Haya Mishamish Klum, it wasn't used at all. In fact, we'll see later on in the parak that it had limited use. We'll see in Mishnah Test that Kohanim that became Tamei in the night, they would exit that gate. And number five, Shara Mizrahi, the eastern gate, Alav Shushan Abira Tzura, there was a picture of Shushan Abira on it. The Bar Tanura explains that the Persian kings at the time that the Beis HaMikdash went under their control at a certain point, they required this to instill within the Jews the Mora Malchus, to instill with them fear that they have to not forget that they were under the supervision and control of the Persian authority. So that's why it was indeed inscribed on that gate. Shabok, and what was that gate used for? That eastern gate, Shabok Kohen Gadol Hasarav Es Haparos, with the Kohen Gadol, when they had a paraduma and they would burn it, not inside the Beis HaMikdash, out of the Beis HaMikdash at Har Zeisim. So he would exit from there, a para, and the para itself they would take out, V'chol Misa'adeh HaYotin LaHar HaMishcha, and everyone who would assist, they would exit to Har HaZeisim via that gate. Mishnah Dalit says Shiva Sharim Hayuba Azara. There were seven gates on the Azara. Didn't we say that there were five gates in Mishnah Aleph? So in fact, the difference is that there were five gates that were guarded, but there were a total of seven major gates. That's one opinion. Another opinion is that we have two different Tanaim with two different views. One is of the view that there were five gates. One is of the view that there were seven gates. But in any case, Mishnah Dalit says, Shiva, Sharim, Ayub, Azara. There were seven different gates to enter to the Azara itself. That's our third of the areas, the smallest of the areas, going in increasing Kedusha. So the Azara, Shlosha, Betzafon, three of the seven were on the northern side, Ushlosha, Bedarim, and three were on the southern side. So three on the north, three on the south, Be'echad B'mizach, one on the east. The western side did not have an entrance, at least not a major entrance. We'll actually see in the second parak that there were a total of 13 entrances. Seven of them were main, and another six were minor entrances. Continuing, so we have these seven here, and it says as follows, going into more detail on each of them, Shebedarim. So we had three on the southern side. One was called Shar HaDelek, the fuel gate. That's where they brought the firewood in to burn items, the karbanos on the Mizbeach. Shenilo, the second one on that southern side, Shar HaBechoros, when somebody had a Bechor to bring as a korban, that would be a firstborn male. If you have a cow, sheep, or goat that had never given birth, and it gives birth to a male that was brought to the base of Mikdash, brought as a korban, and given to the Kohanim, so they would come through the Shar HaBechoros, Shlishilo, the third one on the southern side, Shar HaMayim, that is the gate of water. That is either based on a nevuah of Yechezkel, that he saw water trickling out of the Kodesh Kedoshim and exiting through that gate, or it's because they brought the water on Sukkot for the Nisuch HaMayim through that gate. That is on the southern side, three. Sheba Mizrach, on the eastern side, we had one. Sha'ar Nikanor, the famous Sha'ar Nikanor, named after Nikanor, who brought those, miraculously brought those, the gates from outside Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and they got plunged in the water, and they came along with the boat, etc. Shnei Lishakos Hayula, and there were actually two chambers right there, Achas Mimina V'Achad Misona, one on one side of that gate of Nikanor, one on the left side, one on the right, one on the left. What were they? Achad Lishkas Pinchas Amabish. One was for Pinchas, who was responsible for the clothing of the Kohanim, dressing them, undressing them, and storing the Big Day Kuna. V'Achas Lishkas Ose Chavitin. And the other one was the chamber that those who made the Chavitin, this was the Kohen Gadol's loaf offering, 12 loaves every day, half in the morning, after in the afternoon, those loaves, those chavitin, were made in that lishka. Mishnah Hei v'shebetzaf, when it's continuing from Mishnah Dalet, we had Mishnah Dalet that said that there were some on the north, some on the south, some on the east, but we only went into detail on the south, southern and eastern side. Now we're going to go into detail that we have three on the northern side. Shebetzaf on Sha'ar HaNitzotz, it's called the Sha'ar HaNitzotz, which is the spark chamber. There was a constant fire, not at the gate itself, but the chamber on top of the Sha'ar HaNitzotz. So right on top of there was a constant fire, and if the fire went out from the Mizbeach, they would come and light it from the fire that was lit in the shar, in the chamber on Nitzotz. Ukaminach Sadra Haya, and it was like an entryway. It wasn't a simple gate. It actually had walls on the sides that led outside from the Azara into Har Abayis. Achsadra Haya v'aliyah benuya al gabav, and there was an upper chamber that was built on it. We talked about that in the Mishnah Aleph. This was one of the locations that the Kohanim did their Shmira, Shakonim Shomri Milamala, so the Kohanim were doing the Shmira above, one coin above, Valavim Milamatan, and the Levi was located below doing Shmira, Upesach Ayolah Chel, and it had an entrance to the Chel. The Chel is an area around the perimeter of the Azara's wall, Shani Law, and the second gate was Shara Korban. This is a gate that anyone who is bringing an animal to be brought as a Koche Kodashim offering, that's a high level of Kedusha, that the Shechita had to be done on the northern side of the Azara. Accordingly, they came to the Shar HaKorban on the northern side, so they'd be in the northern side. And Shlishilo, the third gate that was on the northern side, was the Beis HaMoked, which we will talk about in detail, starting in Mishnah Vav, Arba Leshakos Hayu BeBeis HaMoked. When it came to the Beis HaMoked, it was a fairly large complex of other chambers. There were actually four chambers in it on the corners. Kikitonos psuchas letraklin, and they were like small rooms, those four rooms that opened up into a palace, so a much larger area. Shtayim b'kodesh, shtayim b'chol. We're now talking about the Beis HaMoked that was on the northern side of the Azara. So it says that two of those chambers that were more south, Those were Bekodesh, those were actually in the Azora, but Ushtayim Bechol, but the two most northern of those two chambers, that was structurally, physically outside of the Azora. It was on the other side of the wall of the Azora. It was on Har Habayis, that it did not have the status of being in the Azara itself. The Roshei Pispesin Mavdilim Ben Kodesh L'Chol, and on the eastern and western walls, there were actually ends of wooden beams that would stick out exactly where the border was between, in the base of Mokad itself, between what was Bekodesh, what was part of the Azara, and what was north, and accordingly not part of the Azara. So they had those demarcations by those wood beams that would come out on the eastern and western walls. They would just jut out so people could know where the line was, where the border was. So what are those four chambers that we have in the base of Moked? What were their purposes? So Maravit Ramit, the chamber that was on the southwestern side, so that was Bekodesh, not Bechol, because it was more southern. He Haisa Lishkas Telai Korban, that's where they kept the animals for the Korban Tami to be used. Dromit Mizrachit, on the southeastern side also, this was Bekodesh, not Bechol. He Haisa Lishkas Osei Lechem Apanim, that's where they made the Lechem Apanim, that is the showbread that would be switched in, the old taken out, the new put in on Shabbos, so that's the chamber that they used to make it. Mizrachit Tzvonit, on the northeastern corner, the chamber there, so that is Bechol, not Bekodesh. Baganzu B'nei Chashmonaias Avnei HaMizbeach Sheshiksu Malchei Yavan, at the time of Ba'isheni, when the Greeks came in and they impurified the Beis HaMikdash, they used the Mizbeach for their idolatrous offerings, so when the Chashmonaim were successful in throwing them out, they felt it was improper to continue using the same Mizbeach, so it was dismantled, and those stones were placed in this Lishka there on the northeastern side for storage, and they built a new Mizbeach because those stones had been defiled. This is also called the Lishkas HaChosamos. If somebody wanted to come to buy oil and flour for their korban, they would go to this Lishka to buy it. And the last of them, the fourth, 20 Maravit, the chamber was located on the northwestern side, Boyordim, the base at Fila, if a Kohen would become impure when he was sleeping in this base HaMoked, as we'll talk about later in the Perek, if he saw a flow at night. So he would go into the fourth chamber that was outside of the Kodesh. It was Bechol, and he would take a tunnel down underneath the base HaMikdash that did not have purity. He wasn't allowed to be in the Azara itself. He had to get out. He had to go Tovel. So he would go into this fourth chamber that had the tunnel down, and he would go to the mikvah underneath the base HaMikdash. Mishnah Zayin, Shnayim She'arim Hayu LeBeis HaMoked. Okay, when it comes to the base of Moked, we said that it's a large chamber, and it has four smaller rooms, four different chambers in its corners. So to get into the base of Moked, out of the base of Moked, there are actually two different gates. Echad pasuach lechel veechad pasuach lazora. One on the northern side, you would go from the Beis HaMoked to the chel. That was the area on the perimeter outside the wall around the Azara. So that was one entrance or exit. And the other one opened into the Azara. So you go from the Beis HaMoked into the Azara and the reverse. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, zaya pasuach lazora. This one that we're talking about, the gate that was open to the Azara, was actually two doors, two larger doors. And in one of them, embedded in one of them, was Pishpash Katan Ayulo. It had a small door, a small little door to go out of. Shabon Nichnasin Livlosh at Hazara. The first thing that they did in the morning when the Kohanim woke up, ready for the day, they would just use this smaller door, this Pishpash, in order to investigate and inspect that everything was ready in the Azara before the Avoda of the day would begin. Mishnah Ches, Beis HaMoked, we're going to talk about the structure of the Beis HaMoked again. We're going to talk about the outside first and then go into the inside. It was on the outside, it was a kippah, it was a domed building, Beis Gadol Hayah, and it was very large on the inside. Mukaf Rovadin Shalevin, on the inside, it was had ledges or steps all around like an amphitheater coming from the outer wall and moving inward. Vizikne Beisav Yeshenim Sham, the Kohanim that were on duty, they would sleep on those steps, on those woods, on those stone steps. And Hamaftechos Azara Biyadam, literally the keys of the Azara were in their hands to open up all the gates around the Azara. It wasn't in their hands, as we'll talk about in Mishnah Tess. It was under their supervision and responsibility. So they would sleep in that room where their keys were kept. Upirchei Kuna Ish Kistobaritz, and the younger Kohanim, they would sleep in the room as well, but they didn't sleep on those stone steps. They would sleep on the floor on their bedding. That's Kistobaritz, on their bedding on the floor. Mishnah Tess talks about the keys. Where were those keys kept? How were they used and the like. Umakom hayasham ama al ama. There was an area in the base of Moked, in the floor of the base of Moked, that was one ama by ama, one ama, so one ama squared. Vitavla shashayis, and it also had a marble tile on top of it. Vitabas haisach fuaba, and it had a ring, kind of like a handle to lift up that marble tile. So the handle was on the outside, a little ring there, and you would pull it up. And on the underside of it, underneath, the shalshelis hamaftechos hayu tluyasba, and there was a shalshelis, which is a chain that the maftechos, that the keys were hung on. So those keys were underneath. So a chain connected on the underside of the tile and connected to the chain were the keys. Higiasman and Eila. So when it was time in the evening to lock up all of the gates of the Azura, they would take the keys and they would lock them off from the inside, as we'll see shortly. They would lift up that tile with that handle on it, with that ring around it, and they would take the keys off of the chain. There would be a coin that locked all the courtyard gates from the inside in the Azara. And there would be a Levi just making a comment that the Kohanim were on the inside, and the Levi that was guarding that Beis Hamoked, he would be on the outside of the Beis Hamoked. Gamar Melilno, going back to the locking at night, when they was completed, the coin was going and locking everything, all the gates from the inside, when he finished locking everything, he had to put the keys back. He would reattach the keys to that chain, and he returned that tile to its place. And he would put his ksus, his outer garment on it, and he would sleep on that tile. That was to safeguard the keys, so there'd be actually, through the night, a coin sleeping right on top of that tile. Now, what happens if Eira carry Bechamem during the sleep in the night? And we mentioned this a little bit earlier. If there was a coin that had a carry, that had seminal flow at night, that coin is not allowed to be inside the Azara. So he's in the Beis Hamoked. What's he going to do? So Yotze, he's going to go out. He's going to go to the northwestern chamber. That chamber is not Bekodesh. It's Bechol. And there is where that tunnel, they had a tunnel to go down underneath the Beis Hamikdash. Under the Beis Hamikdash was not holy. Accordingly, he could go there to the mikvah. So Yotze, we go in that tunnel that goes underneath the bir, that is the base hamikdash, because it was pitch black underneath the base hamikdash in these tunnels. So there were candles that would illuminate the path along the tunnel, on this side, on that side, till he got to the mikvah, until he got to the base of tefillah, that's the mikvah. And Rabbi Eliezer talks about how he would get out. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, b'misiba olechas tachas achel, yotze v'olech lo batadi. In order, after he did the tefillah, he was of the view that there was a second tunnel that took the Kohen outside of the chel, so outside of the Azora to the area of the chel, which was the area around the perimeter outside the Azora. So he would go out to Har Habayis that way with this tunnel, the Holach Lobatadi, and he would exit that gateway we referred to in Mishnah Gimel. We said that it was only used for limited purposes for Kohanim who were Tameim, so he would exit that Tadi gate to get out of Har Habayis as well.